Hi, this is Masood Arjman, and I just finished a day-long workshop here at the at MIO as part of the Palm 3 program package. And the subject of the workshop was talent and corporate performance. And my personal background, I am a recently early retired partner of Accenture, where I was for quite some time. And these days, I spend my time teaching to executives and MBA students at different universities in US and abroad. And this particular workshop that we conducted for a very nice and a very reasonably a good-sized group, about 55 or so people, various executives from around the Middle East, was really developed on the basis of two different courses. One at the Kellogg School of Management, and that course was called Managing People for Competitive Advantage. And the other one at the Graduate School of Business, and that course is called Business and Competitive Strategy. And what we did is really pick some key themes around talent and organizational performance, and brought that to the group here. The key highlight of this workshop was really to explore not just the contemporary rather definition of what we have meant by talent management, but also how perhaps we should be thinking about talent management, and then try to understand the relationship between talent and performance of an organization, explore that linkage, and try to develop the basic message of this course being that we need to go through not just hiring really smart people, as that alone will not do the job, but perhaps a more critical function of us as an organization or as managers of an organization is to ensure that the organization itself acts in a manner that enables the talent that we bring into the company and develops it, rather than which does happen oftentimes, an organization could have a disabling effect. So the workshop consisted of four different modules. The first module was talent and organization itself, and in there we tried to develop both traditional contemporary definition of talent versus how we think the definitions have evolved. Try to understand the influences between organization and talent, as in to what extent can organization help or hurt a group of people with a certain level of talent in terms of translating their talent into an overall organization performance. We get to the point where we describe that in the end, what really matters in terms of performance of an organization is the accumulation of the day-to-day behavior of its employees, and we try to explore linkages between different attributes and that behavior. We talk about incenting behavior in the second module, and we spend quite a bit of time largely talking about the power of intrinsic rewards, which being the rewards that are about how you feel when you come to work. What does it mean to work here? What is the inner passion that the company is able to ignite, and that reward of feeling great and being able to contribute to something perhaps even bigger than ourselves is what drives people to contribute more and more. So we talk about how different companies have handled the issue of using intrinsic rewards to motivate people, and we discuss some historical and scientific studies and so forth that explain that actually once the basic financial needs have been met, the intrinsic rewards can be an extremely effective motivator and fit the definition of a very good reward system. We do cover various cases of different companies as we go through it. Module number three really deals with an overall empowerment framework, which consists of several things, and I'll explain that in a moment, and how one company, being Whole Foods Market, has actually applied that framework very effectively, and how it has succeeded, and what are the various operationalizational sort of elements or factors that one needs to consider and think about. And finally, what we do in this one-day course or workshop is actually take two different companies that went through some very significant, very major strategic transformational change in the same time frame, being 2000, 2006, and 2007, One of them was Best Buy, the other was Home Depot. One is perceived to be wildly and extremely successful as a major strategic redirection of a company. The other one is not perceived to be so. So what we do is take various dimensions along people, empowerment, innovation, leadership, and so forth, and try to explain how these two companies differed in their approaches to this transformation and what the net result was. The fundamental message that we have tried to communicate in this day-long session is that while there has been a fairly sharp focus on talent management in terms of acquiring the right kind of talent, making sure that you have talent available where it needs to be, and so forth, and perhaps to some extent developing it, it almost seems that the corresponding emphasis on organization as the enabling or disabling entity that can modulate the value of the tenant in terms of the net contribution to performance. So we likened it to, if talent was to be the fuel, the organization is the locomotive, and you need both of these to get to a, you know, a bottom line company performance. And clearly one is not enough. And our focus in this workshop was really touch on some of the key dimensions of number one being the talent, but in a way that leads our discussion into what does the organization have to do to multiply the effect of that talent into overall performance. And in that context, we discussed a framework that we call an effective empowerment framework, which is the best way, in our experience, to link strategic intent directly to behavior of each and every individual in a company. And of course, given the world that we operate in today, with the decentralization, geographical dispersion of entities, people, and companies operating in many different countries, it's a particularly unique challenge to ensure that strategic intent is communicated all the way to all employees in a company, and they're enabled with the tools and so forth that they need to act in a manner that's consistent. And in so doing, we describe this framework, which consists of six or so dimensions of beliefs and values, which power or motivate an individual's desire to perform, and it's a positive driving force. We then talk about boundaries, which are a constraining force in terms of defining guardrails within which we want our employees to act, both in terms of strategic intent as well as in terms of personal conduct and their personal values. We talk about the balancing act that needs to be done between direction, accountability, and self-organization, where direction and accountability is the purpose that's given to an organizational entity from above by top and the senior management of the company in terms of what it's supposed to do from a broad direction point of view. And self-organization is a dimension along which the employees typically these days like to align themselves and take responsibility, have the autonomy and the freedom within a certain set of guidelines to determine how they will perform the work they're assigned and what new opportunities may they uncover as they go through their process. We then talk about performance and rewards and discuss various levels of various types of rewards, being financial, status, and intrinsic. And we spend I think a bit more time than other areas on focusing on how different companies like DaVita, SAS Institute, and so forth have dealt with the issue of providing reward systems that fall in the category of both intrinsic as well as financial, and as a way of motivating their people. We then talk about the concept of learning and renewal, as the other five dimensions talk in terms of a static picture of an organization and things you need to do so it can operate smoothly and is always aligned with the strategic intent. And learning and renewal are the capabilities and the processes that you have to put in place. So not only at the individual level, but at the team and at the overall organizational level. There are reflective processes, there are integrative processes that take what has been learned by individuals who learn very naturally and can be translated into team learning, where teams don't learn naturally and therefore have to be supplemented with different processes to enable learning. And we go through each of these modules with examples of different companies. In the end, as a summary, we will cover here, as we did in the workshop, what the basic takeaways are. And since this is a workshop on talent and performance, we start off with the talent. And our key takeaway is really, as a matter of fact, overall key takeaway is context in which people perform can have a much more significant impact on their performance, positive or negative, than individual talent. So in order for us to get the best performance of an organization from a given set of talent, we need to focus our management attention on managing the context within which people act and are able to express themselves and are able to ignite the passion within them. So we focus our final message on the need to manage context, not necessarily people directly. We took some broad themes in talent and went through them and convinced ourselves as we went through that talent is not fixed. It's not necessarily intrinsic. It can be developed. That frontline employees can actually be perhaps the most critical talent a company has. It may not be the CEO and the higher levels in the organization who have a different but a very fundamental role, yet the source of value for certainly a company that may have a lot of interaction with consumers is in frontline employees. We, in the course of that, discussed the fact that just having smart people does not guarantee success. You have to manage context, as we said earlier, that in a fully empowered organization, the role of the CEO, in fact, transforms to being the heart of the organization, being someone who can find the passion that the employees have within them and ignite that passion in the service of the organization. We talk about performance, that for performance of a company or an organization, context is absolutely everything. Not to say that talent is to be de-emphasized, but context can have a fundamental and a very profound impact on what talent and on how a talent is leveraged positively or negatively. We talked about the issue of the complexity and subjectivity of understanding performance, how we typically make errors of attribution and why we think a certain performance, whether poor or good, has come about. We talk about the fact that to maintain sustained performance or sustained competitive advantage, we need to develop the capability within a company organically to continue to strategically renew itself as things change around it. We then talk about the more specific element of, you know, what goes on in sort of a micro level within the company as people interact with each other. We go into a brief treatment of what we mean by purposeful dialogue in terms of interaction between people, how leadership practices or legacy of past leadership behaviors can influence the way that dialogue progresses, even though it's happening in an isolated part of the organization, perhaps between just two people. We talk about learning processes and what we need to do as management to not only to inspire, but also to guide and channel discretionary behavior, because we do believe that in the end, it is the discretionary behavior or the passion of the employees in going above and beyond the call of duty that typically will determine a legend in terms of performance versus people or companies that did just almost as good. We talk about the power of having a sense of purpose in terms of driving passion in people and then having that passion be translated into positive discretionary action. And of course, the notion of intrinsic rewards and the idea of balancing freedom and accountability.